I'm having a hard time with some of this scripture. And then we also read through Ephesians chapter 5 as part of our epistle reading. And I don't know, a week ago now, the Lord spoke really clearly to Amanda that we needed to read the book of Ephesians. And so Ephesians chapter 5 really got to us. And so it's not in my script, but at some point we're going to talk about both because it's so important. So I invite you to close your eyes this morning. We're going to pray that the Lord will bless us. God, we come to this time of our service, God, where we dive deep into your word. God, as we read through Galatians, God, this is we got two more weeks of this. God, we ask your Holy Spirit to change our hearts, God, for you, to open us to you, to change us, God, to reflect upon our lives and the life of this community, God, that we can be the disciples you have called us to be. Help us be obedient children, God, and we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen. So the duty of a Christian, the responsibilities of what a Christian does is, so I want you to think this morning in your head, as a Christian, what do you think your duty is to this world, to this church, to your family, to yourself, and of course, to God? What is your duty? What is your responsibility? Right? Because life goes beyond ourselves, right? So again, many of y'all are much older than I am. You've had a lot more life experience in that way. But if anything that life has taught me is that I'm just a small little nothing in the eyes of the Lord, right? Like there is so much going on in the world right now. And I just try to be as faithful as I can to God and to live out his call on my life every single day. That's what my goal is. So as you all know, I went to the hospital, right? I was here what 2 weeks ago and I couldn't see the screen, like nothing. It looked like a white blob together and it scared me. And I had many of y'all told me, go to the doctor. So I went to the doctor, right? I ended up in the hospital. Now I can see the screen, but without my glasses, right? And that's weird. So I'm working on like 2 weeks being able to see better than I have in probably 2 years. So I don't know what that's about. But I had a lot of time to reflect in the hospital on God's call on my life and what that looks like. And what I found out is from the doctor, and some of y'all are friends with me on Facebook, so you saw this, there's the certain level chemical in my body that's produced by stress, the fight or flight levels, right? And that produces sugar, blood sugar, and that's what caused me to go from not a diabetic to a diabetic, literally stress, right? And so we have to think about, well, God, why am I so stressed out, right? Like you are the provider, you're the sustainer. I'm a pastor, but I'm still a human being, right? Like I still have fears and I still have anxiety and all of those things that you all struggle with, I struggle with. But God is with me. That was the best thing in the hospital, right? Best of all, God was with me. Because even I told y'all, my nurse line didn't work. So I didn't know my doctors and nurses were there, but I knew God was there, right? God was there with me. And you're probably asking yourself, what does that have to do with our scripture this morning, right? I'm not here just to tell you stories about myself, but we as a church have to accept what is our responsibilities. As I did talking to God the several days in the hospital, what is my responsibilities to you? And as we read Ephesians 5, right? Let's go back to that. Let's see. Ephesians 5, verse 15 here says, so be careful to live your life wisely, not foolishly. Take advantage of every opportunity because these are evil times. Don't be foolish, spend your time wisely. And I love, I mean, I just love Paul. He is just so great. So my verse 6 here, which you guys don't have on your paper, verse 6 says, nobody should deceive you with stupid ideas, right? No one. God's anger comes down on those who are disobedient because of the kind of thing. So you shouldn't have anything to do with them. Anything. So, I just look at life and I have to ask myself, am I spending my time wisely or am I spending my time foolishly? I mean, there are people that are going to hell and don't know Jesus. And are we spending our time on focusing on those people? Now, we don't have to be some huge charismatic church that has a baptism swimming pool in the front, right? We don't have to be that. We don't have to do an altar call every Sunday. But we still should be spending our time wisely and finding the lost sheep. Like, we have to. So what I'm telling you is this morning, like, a lot of what God told me in the hospital was, don't spend your time on foolish nonsense, right? Like, there's too much at stake to spend your time on nonsense. Like, God needs us as a church, as a community of faith, to love on this community and to find the people that need him. And I hope I will get a silent amen from everybody this morning. And some of you may be saying, well, Pastor Blue's lost his head. But the whole point of Galatians chapter 6 this morning, which again I need to read through, but is that we are to love the Lord our God and our neighbor by word, deed, and action. You can put deed and action together, but word, deed, and action. We need to not just say we love our neighbor, but actually do something about it. Do something about it. So again, I'm going to read through that those verses for you. So again, we're in Galatians chapter 6, just 1 through 5 this morning. We're going to go through the next part of the verse next week. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. So friends, do you hear this? If you catch a person, if you know somebody that's in sin, and they're a believer in Jesus, you should correct that person gently. You should love on that person. You should care of that person. You should embrace that person. I'm not telling you to embrace the sin, right? I'm telling you to embrace the person. Love on them as Jesus would. Jesus met the woman at the well. He met many people in their sin and showed them love and compassion. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. So when we hang out with sinners, which by the way, we should hang out with sinners. We should not only be with believers of Jesus, right? Because how are we ever going to get people that don't believe in Jesus to believe in Jesus if they don't know a Christian, right? And I've been guilty of hanging out with only Christians. I could tell you at least through college and seminary, I was with a lot of Christian pastors and not a lot of non-believers. But now I get to be in the world a little bit more. Then it goes on to say, carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. So in your head, I'm trying not to skip forward through my sermon, but think in your head this morning, how are we carrying each other's burdens this morning? Are we? Or do we have some work to do? If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. So it's kind of, I'm thinking of these people, man, they are holier than thou, right? Religious, righteous people. You know, I'm not a sinner. I go to church every Sunday, right? I live a good life. I abstain from alcohol, tobacco, whatever. You know, I don't even dance. Those type of people, right? We danced at our wedding. Holier than thou. But guess what? They're still sinners. They're still sinners. So they deceive themselves. They deceive themselves. And each one should test their own actions. And then they can take pride in themselves alone. So we're hearing humility. So, okay, I'm a believer in Jesus. I try to live the best life that I can. I confess my sins on a regular basis. I go before the Lord. I completely rely on Him. But I do that privately, right? I don't boast about my faith, right? In fact, in public, you should be humble in your faith. Without comparing themselves to someone else. Now, that's easy to do, right? You look at somebody and you say, man, they got it all together. They got it all together, and I don't. Or their family has it all together, and I don't. Let me tell you, every family in America that I know of has their problems. Everyone. Even the ones that you think are glorious and have it all together. I found this out in ministry. For each one should carry their own load. And we're going to talk about why that sounds like it's contradictory in a little bit. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. So my hope and desire in reading Galatians and then Ephesians, we might go through Ephesians next, is that God has one goal for the body of Christ, and that is to be a unified army against Satan. And that's so hard, right? I mean, again, go back to Ephesians, and I'm really having a hard time not skipping. But one of the sections is being unified. It's like the first chapter, that we should be a unified body for Jesus, because there is so much sin in the world, so much desire to go 100 different places. If we don't stand together, we don't have a chance. We don't have a chance. So I'm trying to make the case here, friends, that we as a congregation can do better. We can. So a good Lutheran sermon always has two things. Law and gospel. You guys familiar with law and gospel, right? So if I preach law, no, I'm supposed to, right? And the law here this morning is we can do better. We can do better. We love each other, I hope. I love you all. I hope most of you love me. And as we look at the scripture, we have to embrace this as a whole. So our first point, we only got 3 points this morning, so no 4-point sermons. I think I'm going to get you out early today. So the first point here comes from verses 1 and 2. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live in the Spirit should restore that person gently. So that's all of us this morning. We live in the Spirit. We're believers of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. If you're not, let's talk after church. Right? And we are to restore that person gently, but watch yourselves that you may not be tempted. Carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. So while Paul told Galatians that they were free from keeping the rituals of the law, he reminded them they have another responsibility here. They were to bear with their neighbors, their errors, their weaknesses, their sorrows, and their sufferings, and keeping the law of Christ. And I have two other scriptures here for you. I'm not going to read them, but it's John 13:34, if you're taking notes, and James 2:8. So there are people all around us that have needs this morning, right? The poor will always be among us, right? And it's not just the poor, right? It's the poor in spirit. It's, I don't know, again, it's the single mom. That's having a hard time raising their kids, or the single dad. It's the widows and widowers. It's everyone in this life. There are people that need our help as the Christian community. And are we doing a good job at loving them? See, the early Christians responded to this task by helping new believers who were far from home, right? They had to travel great distances in order to learn about the Lord, their God, and face persecution and maybe be murdered for being a believer in Jesus. And we know more and more that this is still happening in the world today. Part of me wishes I could just go visit some of those countries and talk to the missionaries and the pastors who are being persecuted and the average layperson in the congregations that are willing to travel by foot, often barefooted, to these little villages to hear the word of Jesus. Man, we have it so easy. So how do you think this morning, how do you think we are doing at bearing our neighbor's errors and weaknesses leading to correction? So when you hear a neighbor, according to this verse, right, that is in error, are we helping them find redemption? Because if we truly love them, we want them to repent. We want them to do better. And that goes for pastor too, right? I go right back to Rashek's sermon here. I'm probably the biggest sinner in the church, right? Biggest sinner in the church. But we all should live a life of redemption, live a life that we are seeking forgiveness from the Lord, because if we are not, brothers and sisters, that only comes from one person, and that is not God, right? That is Satan. Satan doesn't want us to be redeemed in the Lord. He wants us to live in conflict and issues and all these problems. So how do we respond? How do we respond to new believers in Jesus that come into this church, that want to be discipled in the faith? What is our pathway to discipleship for a new believer at First Lutheran? Do we have one? No, we don't. Right now, we don't have a pathway of discipleship. Like, for example, I'm confirmed. Now what? What happens? Or I'm an adult, right? I come to First. I come up before the church. I confess that I love the Lord with all my heart, mind, and soul, and strength. What's next? Where do I plug in at? We got to come up with that. We got to figure that out, right? We got to be able to grow people in the faith so they don't stay infants. Paul talks about that too, right? That we don't stay spiritual infants that are blown from the wind anytime the wind blows. How do we respond? And so as a family of Christ, we have to be able to not only grow each other, but again, live life together. It's a community. We live life together. So we had a council meeting last Wednesday. And it was really confusing to the council, right? Mary will tell you, we had no business at the council meeting. All we did was eat food together. And everyone was really tempted to do business at this mealtime. But it was great. And we got to just talk about nothing, right? There was nothing important other than we are a family. And families get around the dinner table and they just shoot the breeze, right? They just talk and love each other. That's what the church is. It's not always about business. It's not always about, I don't know, fixing the world's problems or the congregation's problems. It's about being a family. So I hope that we do more of that, that we just, maybe we go to council, we get everything we need to get out of the way in 10 minutes, and then we eat. Right? It was great. So we are to build each other up from these verses. We are to hold each other accountable. We are to bear each other's burdens. And we are to live in Christian community. That's just the first two verses tells us all that. So next, we have to be realistic about ourselves. We have to be able to judge ourselves. So here, starting verse 3-4. If anyone thinks they are something they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they could take pride in themselves alone. That's that humility part, without comparing themselves to someone else. So Paul tells us to be realistic about ourselves. We all should be testing our own actions, evaluating our own desires, our sins. So this goes back to the church, because this is the one platform I have to talk to the whole church, right? The whole church is here. So raise your hand this morning if you want the church, this church, to grow and people. All right. So I hope everyone's raising their hands. Now, if you don't remember, a couple weeks ago, I sent out a visioning survey. And I want to thank everyone that completed that survey. And I did get a few that actually printed out and hand wrote. Some of the answers really surprised me. I was kind of shocked. One of them, it's not really about visioning, but I've been having conversations with people almost since I've gotten here. Should the church get some type of bus, right? So we can go do trips with the seniors, right? The, as my friend calls them, owls, older, wiser leaders, right? The owls and some of the, maybe the youth at some point. And you know, like every single person, like other than like two people said, yeah, we should do that. Two people. Only two people said we shouldn't do that. I was kind of surprised. Some, I was greatly excited about the idea of people desiring the church to grow in youth and children and all this kind of stuff. But then I was also kind of saddened because a lot of surveys said this. Well, Pastor, we want the church to grow, but we don't want to change anything. We want it to be the same church as it has been for the last 50 years. We just think you're young and you should get young people to come to church. And it doesn't work that way. I'm sorry to tell you. So you can't have different results by doing the same thing over and over again, right? So we have to look at how do we change and still love our church family, because you are the church family. So we want to love everyone that's here. Everyone that is here is important and valuable in the eyes of the Lord. But so is everyone outside of this church. So we have to look at how do we do things different? How do we take pride in this congregation? And how does this relate to our sermon this morning? Is we have to be realistic. We have to be realistic about who we are as individuals. We have to be realistic about who is this church and who is not this church. And we have to be realistic about this community around us and who is our, in some ways, our clientele, right? Our community. And I've shared with you on numerous occasions, this is a changing demographic. Right? As our older members, unfortunately, are passing away, you have all these young families moving into this community, and we have to ask ourselves, well, how do we outreach to them, love on them, and have them come to church so they can learn, most importantly, have a relationship with Jesus? And we're going to baptize one baby today at 11, which with being in the hospital, I was surprised with the baptism. I got a call. I was at Target getting medications. And she's like, you're baptizing my baby Sunday. Surprise. So we met Friday. And it's, again, Emily Flynn. And we have another baptism next month, right? So we have all these baptisms. We had a baptism when we lost electricity. So, I mean, that's three right there. All of those young families. So what are we doing about it? How do we have an honest conversation that is not about us, that is completely humble, seeking the Lord and His will? So I learned that, again, I can't stress. I can't, as a leader, you can't be a leader if you have no one following you, right? And I can't push the church every day, right? The congregation, you all are the body of Christ. The ministers of the church, you know, Luther talked about this. All of us, I mean, I'm called to a different office, right? To word and sacrament. But you all are called as the body of Christ to lead up the church. So I can't stress. I have to allow you all as a church, even more now than ever before, to help steer that ship a little bit and say, how are we going to address this? And I pray, my prayer is that you guys will figure something out. I'll work with you. I'll lead you. I'll have those conversations, but we have to do something. We have to be realistic. Likewise, if you're one of those forward-thinking people, maybe everyone at church thinks you're crazy. I don't know, right? If you're one of those people that are thinking forward, that think differently, that have crazy ideas, we have openings that are coming up on council, right? We have people rolling off of council. I need people to step up. I need people to step up. I need new leaders, fresh ideas, to step into those roles that are vacant, right? So we can begin to really prosper and think. And it's not that the council's great. But again, we have openings that we have to fill. So I need leadership that, again, might have a crazy idea, because those crazy ideas can turn into incredible ministry. My church in West Palm, they used to have a clothing drive. Like, they would do a yard sale, right? And they'd make money from the yard sale. Have you guys done yard sales here? Good. Okay. So they did a yard sale, and I hate yard sales, first of all. Just don't like them. But the new campus coordinator, basically the pastor without ordination, decided, well, we're going to do a yard sale, but we're going to give away all the items for free. So they've been doing like 10, I think each family gets 10 or 15 items every time. And they do it every Saturday, by the way. And these are like high-end clothing. Like, they get people from Boca Raton to donate all this clothing. So, but the point here is like, it was a crazy idea somebody had, and it's caught on. And now their church is growing from it. And they're ministering to people. And I just found out that Trinity in Joppa is doing the same thing. Right? It was a crazy idea to start a food pantry. We're starting to do that. I mean, these are great ways to outreach. And it's not always about growth. It's simply about loving the people. So lastly, we are responsible to God. Right? All of us. We are ultimately responsible to the Lord. It says this in verse 5. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. And again, there, you might feel like, man, okay, I don't understand. He told us just a minute ago that we need to bear each other's burdens, and now he's telling me that we should carry our own load. But there's two different words in the original language. In verse 2, Paul speaks of a heavy weight pressing down. And in verse 5, the term suggests carrying a load, like a soldier with that heavy equipment that they have on their back. Has anybody picked up the equipment that a soldier has to carry? I don't know how heavy it is, but it's heavy, right? And so we carry each other's burdens, and we carry our own load. We all have our cross to bear. And we each have responsibility that no one can accept for us. So just as Adam and Eve, right? So Adam blamed Eve for making him eat that fruit, of course, right? Ladies, does your husband ever blame you? I don't know, right? And Eve tried to blame the serpent. But ultimately, God held each accountable, and each were punished for their sin. So we will give account to God one day. Romans 14, 12. And we have to, I hope, when we get to heaven, I believe we're going to be held accountable on how we carried each other's burdens, how we treated each other. And it is until our dying breath on this earth that the purpose is not about us. It's all about God. Every single one of us this morning. I don't care if you're a year old or 109, right? You are the Lord's child. You are responsible to him. And if he's got a call on your life at 100 to do something, my suggestion is do it. Because when you ignore God, it usually doesn't work out. So it's how we spend our life, how we spend our time that is so important. So if you were to meet God today, what would he say about you? How do you think God would judge you right now, where you are? How are you spending your time? How are you loving your neighbor? How are you treating your spouse, right? How do you, I don't know, how do you treat your in-laws? That might be a better test, right? How do you love this church? Because I for one, want to make my Heavenly Father very proud. And again, that's in between me and God. That's not between me and the church. Between me and God, I want to make my Heavenly Father proud. So, in closing, friends, here are our takeaways. Are you caring for each other's burdens like you should be? Are you being realistic about who you are? A sinner in needing of Jesus. And lastly, what would God say about you? Are you following him day after day? Are you seeking his will or selfish desires? And how is our church doing in our health? Which I believe we have some growing to do. What can you do this morning to make a difference? Let us pray. God, we thank you for your holy word. Help us all to grow, to carry each other's burdens, to reflect honestly about where we are with the Lord. God, so one day when we're judged by you, God, we can make you proud. We can make you excited for the good work we've done on this earth. Help us love better. Help us care better, God, for you. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.